Sometimes during the services, we'll thank the preacher for being there. This is one preacher that would like to thank you for the opportunity to be here tonight. I was just standing there thinking, I don't know of many preachers that have an opportunity to address an audience such as I have this evening. You think about the makeup of this audience, with our local people, our fine youth group that's here in front and sits here regularly, the students that are back from all over the country and all over the world. I realize that it's a great privilege to be able to be a part of the work here, and I just want you to know that I appreciate that. I want to especially tell our students how much I appreciate their being back with us tonight, and I'd like to ask you to help us to tell others that we care. There will be new students coming in. Some of you may be here tonight for the first time as a Freed Hardeman student. We want you to know that we at the Henderson Church care for you. We're concerned. If there are parents here, we want you parents to know that we care. And we stand ready to do anything that we can to help. And I'd just like to ask all of you students who've been a part of our work and been here before to help us as ambassadors in talking with the new students particularly, or any student. Tell them about our classes and our services. But in addition to that, tell them that if we can help personally in any way, to let us know. I know personally that our elders feel that way. I know that there are many folks that live here in Henderson regularly who are interested in helping in any way that they can. And we want the students to know that, and we ask you to help us to get that message to all. It's a wonderful thing to be able to worship in a setting like this tonight. To be able to really understand the meaning of the lesson this evening, I must go back and review just a bit of what we talked about this morning. We began with Romans 15:4, the things written aforetime were written for our learning, and suggested that although we are not under the Old Testament law today, there is so much that can be learned by our going back to Old Testament examples. Laws have changed and customs change, but principles have not changed. We then went to 1 Corinthians 10, verses 6 and 11, to tell us that the Old Testament things that happened to be examples for us and to be in samples for us. And in verse 11 particularly, it is said that these things were to be for our admonition, to admonish us to have the right relationship with God and the right relationship with one another. We then noticed this morning four basic principles that have to do especially with our relationship to God by going back and looking at examples in the Old Testament. When God says do, He means do. When He gives commands, He expects us to carry those out. When God says don't, He means don't. When God forbids something, He restricts and He expects us to go by those restrictions. When God specifies, He does not accept substitutes. And God is more interested in simple obedience than He is outstanding ceremonies and sacrifices. Now, having said that this morning and emphasizing in that what I believe to be some very great principles, I want to share with you tonight something that's just as important. There's another side of this message, a side that I think for years I overlooked. I used to use Romans 15:4 as the text for the lesson this morning. We used the first part of it, but really we used 1 Corinthians 10:11 as the text for this morning. The latter part of Romans 15:4, which for years I used as a text for the lesson this morning, is the text for our lesson tonight. The things written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Folks, this passage isn't emphasizing the admonition from the Scripture. This passage is not emphasizing these principles that we talked about this morning, that there are laws and principles and doctrines to be obeyed and to be respected, although that's included in the overall idea and emphasized in 1 Corinthians 10. What Paul is emphasizing here is that we might have patience and that we might be able to develop that through the comfort that comes from the Scriptures. Have we not sometimes, and have not we as preachers been perhaps the most guilty on this, allowed ourselves to become so interested in talking about the doctrines involved and using the Bible as a proof text that we have overlooked it as a personal text, as a personal letter to ourselves? Well, I'm sure you agree with me wholeheartedly that we need to use the Bible as a proof text. In fact, I introduced our radio lessons this morning, the 8 o'clock lessons on the local radio station, by talking about proving what we say and giving book, chapter, and verse. And I plan to preach through this entire year on the general theme of what does the Bible say about it, and look at several subjects from that standpoint. And I emphasized in that lesson, 1 Thessalonians 5, prove all things. 2 Timothy 4:2, preach the word and do it with doctrine as well as longsuffering. 1 Peter 4:11, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. And I'm not of any lesser persuasion tonight that we need that. But we may very well be overlooking something that's just as important. The comfort of the Scriptures. There are times when we need comfort. In fact, I suppose at any time in life there is a type of comfort that we need. Can we go anywhere to find any more comfort than to turn back to these Old Testament Scriptures and read how God dealt with people and how God helped people and encouraged people in times of tragedy, in times of difficulty, in times of problems, and then say to ourselves today, you know, we serve the same God? In the same sense that this morning we could look at the do's and the don'ts of the Old Testament and say we serve the same God and are to uphold those principles, tonight we can look at how God has helped people. And we can say to ourselves, we serve that same God and He will help us in the same way. For just a few minutes, let your mind wander with me back to the Old Testament with this general line of thought before us. Hezekiah proves to us that God answers prayers relative to those who are sick. God sent word to King Hezekiah in 2 Kings chapter 20 and said, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. The next few verses reveal to us that Hezekiah prayed about this. And he asked God to let him live longer, to let him get well or remain well, as the circumstances may have been, but to remain alive longer. God heard that prayer and sent the message back to him, I'm going to add 15 years to your life. Now, we do not believe in divine healing today in the sense that someone can place his hand on someone else's head and in a miraculous way heal that person. That kind of healing was completed in the early history of the church with the completion of the spiritual gifts and miraculous powers. But, folks, we must believe that there is a divine type of healing in which God is involved. When we do all that we can do and turn the rest over to God, that God is there today, that He answers our prayers, that He listens to us. If He doesn't, why would we even pray for those who are sick? There is seldom a time that we come together in a service like this, but that there are those of our own families who are in hospitals or sick. And there are those who are facing other types of problems, and we pray together. And usually, as we did tonight, we'll mention those that we know and say something to the effect, for those that we may not know, we pray for them. You know, when we go back to the Old Testament Scriptures and we see Hezekiah with 15 years added to his life, we can find some comfort in that. And we can believe that we serve the same God today who added those 15 years, and that when we pray to Him and realize that He knows what is best, that He will answer our prayers. We can find comfort in going back to the Scriptures and find examples of those who had times that were disappointing and see how they overcame those. You remember Hannah, for example, and how many times she prayed for a child? She was barren for so long and wanted to have a child, wanted to be a mother so much. And she prayed and she prayed and she prayed, and it took a while for this prayer to be answered. But finally God said, I'm going to answer that prayer and give you a son. Hannah became the mother of one of the outstanding men of the Old Testament by the name of Samuel. Look at Naomi and Ruth. Oh, that little book, which is in a sense an oasis in a setting of the Bible where there were so many difficulties and trials, shows that people could overcome difficulties. Naomi lost her husband and her two sons in death, and yet her faith in God never changed at all. Ruth lost her husband and left her homeland, and yet building on the faith of Naomi and learning from that and learning what God meant, look what her life accomplished in those last several years. You and I today may meet disappointments like that. I went back to Tullahoma a few days ago to conduct a service for an older lady. She left two sisters surviving, and one of those sisters, who's now in the nursing home, within a period of about 2 years, lost a husband, her only son, and her only daughter in death. And during the 13 years that I was in Tullahoma, that woman suffered almost every type of illness you could think about. Arthritis, different types of surgeries. And yet just as pleasant and as kind and as loving and as lovable as anyone that you'd ever want to meet. And when we go back to the Old Testament and we look at examples like Naomi and Ruth and Hannah, we find comfort in those, in that some of the things that we meet today, some of the difficulties that we meet, some of the desires that we have about which we pray to God, that there is reason for hope. There is reason to believe that God will answer our prayers. I like to go back and look at Moses in a way that we don't normally look at him. Moses was one of the greatest men that ever lived, but do you realize that Moses was not one of the most talented men that is talked about in the Bible? And especially did not have self-confidence in what he was able to do, at least in the beginning of the specific work that God had for him. Moses evidently was not able to speak as well as someone else. At least he needed Aaron to be his spokesman. But God was able to take a man who maybe didn't have all the talents, and a man who at that point at least did not have the self-confidence that he needed, and use that man to the glory of God and to the service of his fellow man, the service of mankind. Oh, there's a lot of comfort to be found in that. When you and I look at ourselves today, and maybe we become a little bit discouraged, and we say, I don't have the talent that someone else has, or I can't do what someone else has, just look at Moses and examples like that. God was able to take this man and use him to his own glory. He can do that with each of us today. There's comfort to be found in the Scripture. When we face financial difficulties and do not have all the things that we would like to have in this life, we can find comfort in the Scripture. Job lost everything that he had. His family, his cattle, all of his possessions. But look at the end result. Because he didn't lose his faith in God. The widow of Zarephath, 1 Kings 17, had just a little measure of meal, a little measure of oil. And she was down to the point that she was almost ready to give up. And she more or less said, I'm going to take this and make a nice little cake for me and my son. But with the help of God and the teaching that was done to her and the circumstances on that occasion, she turned things around and she was able to look up and realize that there was something ahead that was better. The same God, folks, that returned to Job even more than he had. And the same God that could take the measure of grain there and the oil and bring it to where this widow could have what she needed is the same God who, through Paul, says, all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. In Romans 8, verse 28. We can find comfort in the Scripture. The same God that blessed these back there is the same God that you and I serve today. I suggest to you that this idea is true even when we think about moral problems. Difficulties that exist in the world today, and all of us know that there are a lot of problems around us, a lot of temptations. Joseph met temptation and overcame it. He was even so close to it that when he fled, he left his coat. He was even so close to it that he was falsely accused and spent time in prison. But he overcame that temptation and he didn't yield to it. Today, when there are temptations, and I especially appeal to those of you of the younger generation, when there are temptations to be involved in immoral actions, which was the basic temptation to Joseph on that occasion, remember there is comfort to be found in going back and looking at this young man. Here's a young man who faced temptation, and I don't suppose he saw a bumper sticker back then, but he knew how to say no. He knew how to just say no to the temptation that was there. And look at what a man he became. What a work he was able to do. There may be times when we ask ourselves, what's the use? Everybody else is doing it. How can I stand? How can I overcome? Just sit down and take your Bible and go back and read about Joseph. And you can find comfort from the Scriptures. What about the persecutions? And I hesitate to discuss this here because you and I don't really know what persecutions are. But sometimes there are some persecutions that we even have. And we hear things said about the church, and we see things done in the direction of the church. Go back and read about Daniel. Cast into the den of lions. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you boys and girls remember them, cast into the fiery furnace. But they wouldn't deny God. They would not become involved with the request and the desires of others around them, but they stood for God and stood against those persecutions. Look how things worked out for them. We sang a few minutes ago about standing up for Jesus, taking our stand for what is right. I don't know of anything that can help us any more as we try to take our stand for what is right than to go back and read passages like the ones that describe Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego. You and I haven't met anything greater than that. We haven't met any persecution that's comparable to what they met. With God's help, they overcame. With God's help, we can overcome. When we become discouraged, well, especially when we see those that we love turn away from God and we see things happen that we just cannot explain, where do we find the comfort? In the last several years, I've had close friends who turned their back on the Lord, turned their back on the Lord completely, quit serving Him. Now I imagine that there's not a one of us here tonight, that there's not a family represented, but that there are those in the family or among our close friends who have been disappointments in life, and especially from a spiritual standpoint. When I think about things like that, I like to go back and read about Elijah in 1 Kings 18 and 19. A man of God who faced Jezebel and Ahab, and I doubt that we've faced anybody any worse than that, who became so discouraged that he began to run away to the point that God even had to feed him by the ravens. And Elijah looked up to God and said, God, let me die. Nobody is faithful anymore. I'm the only one that's left. God said, get up and get back. You're not the only one that's left. I've still got numbers back there that are ready to listen. You get back and take your stand and do what's right. If there's ever been anybody who was discouraged, it was Elijah. And I suppose just after our Lord had died in the New Testament, we see that same kind of discouragement on the part of the apostles. And we can go back and look at New Testament examples along with these Old Testament characters. And realize that when we have times of encouragement, if we'll just sit down and look at the Scriptures and look at the end result and how these things worked out, we can find some of the greatest comfort that we can find anywhere. And then, perhaps more important than anything that we've said tonight, when we're dealing with sin and forgiveness, we can find comfort in the Old Testament Scriptures. The greatest problem in this world tonight is the problem of sin. The greatest need in this world tonight is the need of forgiveness. And that involves all of us, for all have sinned, Romans 3:23. Sometimes wouldn't it be easy to just sort of quit and say, what's the use? I can't live a perfect life. I can't do everything as God wants me to do. I'm a sinner. I'm weak. When you get to feeling like that, just turn back there in the Old Testament and start reading about David. A man who made some terrible mistakes. The sin of adultery, and that sin has always been condemned and continues to be condemned. But David was not condemned. The sin of conspiracy to murder. And if you'll study his life very closely in the context of his family, that man made a lot of mistakes as a father and as a husband. And yet David is called a man after God's own heart. Why? Because he was a man who could bring penitence into his heart and could seek forgiveness, repent of his sins and overcome them and receive the forgiveness from God. I don't believe there's a sin that any of us can commit today that's any greater than the sins of David. And I hope that we will never in any way, by any stretch of the imagination, let David's situation suggest to us that we have a license to sin. That's not what we're talking about. But when we do make mistakes and when we do fall short of what God has said and we go beyond the restrictions that He's given, that we have a loving God, although a consuming fire toward sin, who is a God of love toward the sinner who will repent and who is willing to forgive. We can find comfort in that. And so tonight I say to you that I know of no place that's better for us to go to find comfort than to the Old Testament Scriptures. Yes, they're important as far as proof, but they're also important as far as a personal relationship to God and to one another is concerned. When you have times of discouragement, depression, turn back to the Old Testament and read about those people back there. When you have financial difficulty, when you have disappointments that come about because of what others have done or not done, when you meet temptation, when there are persecutions, when there is a tendency to be discouraged and depressed, when there is that recognition that there is sin in your life that needs to be cared for, turn back to the Old Testament. And remember, Paul said that through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, we might have hope. I say to you tonight that we serve a God of hope. And one of the reasons I believe that is because of what's written in the Old Testament. We serve a God of hope. We serve a God of help. We serve a God who cares. We serve a God who will be there to care. If we will only serve Him by the same principles that those men and women back there did. And those principles are simply these: placing our trust and faith in the living God and obeying Him and living for Him to the best of our ability. In New Testament times, that means, number one, becoming a Christian. And number two, just living the Christian life with faith in God. And becoming a Christian means belief, repentance, confession, and being baptized. And living that Christian life means committing ourselves to it. And when we've made mistakes, turning back to God with the same penitence that David had, with a penitent and contrite heart, asking for forgiveness. There's great comfort in the Old Testament Scriptures. And I suggest to you that tonight, that the admonition of the Scriptures which we saw this morning, and the comfort of the Scriptures which we've seen tonight, ought to combine to be enough to cause any one of us to want to be a Christian. And if you're not, you ought to come as together we stand and sing.
Though you've wandered so far from His presence, come today. Hear His loving voice calling still, calling now for thee. Oh, weary prodigal, come, come. Patient, loving, and tenderly still the Father pleads. Hear, oh, hear Him calling, calling now for thee. Oh, return while the Spirit in mercy intercedes. Hear His loving voice calling still, calling now for thee. Prodigal, come.